This morning, we're talking trees.
Why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Biff might want you to leave, but we hope you stay. We've got certified arborist John Eisenhower with Integrity Tree Service here to take your questions at Rosie on the House.
And you get online by dialing 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Mr. Eisenhower, it is fall time. We've talked about pruning. It's also fertilizing time. Hang on just a second. There you go.
Here we go. Yeah, research has shown that fertilizing is really the best time is in the fall. They say that the trees are using stored nutrients in the fall and winter in the spring when they have their first push. So if you're fertilizing in the spring and summer, it's good for the plants. They're using it throughout the growing season, but they can't utilize it as quickly as they can by fertilizing in the fall. And the trees goes into some of the deciduous trees, of course, go into their dormancy in the winter, and they are using that stored nutrients in their spring push. Interestingly, too, the research shows that there's a lot of root activity in trees, both evergreens and deciduous trees, during the winter. When trees are slowing down their vegetative growth on the tops of the trees, surprisingly, the roots are very, very active in the winter. They're still colonizing the soil and mining water and nutrients, and they're storing that. So if they have a nice available fertilizer resource for that uptake, they do really, really well in the spring. So
I have four ash trees that are on the north side of the house. What would I, if I as a do-it-yourselfer, what would I put on there to fertilize right now?
Well, there's a lot of good fertilizers available, different NPK, formulations. You can put it down by granular, surface applications. You can do, some liquid fertilizer applications, whatever you... Anyway, the trees are pretty nonspecific. They are pretty much blind. All they're looking for is the chemicals that are in the soil, those nutrients that are available to them for uptake. It doesn't really matter what form you put them down, just so that they're translated into materials that they can take up.
So they'll develop a little root growth, store the nutrients, and when spring comes, it gives them a little extra push
right
getting started.
They just say it's the best time. If you're going to fertilize once a year, it's a good time.
Very good. Let's bring John into the conversation. He wants to talk about an acacia tree in his yard. Go ahead, John.
Hey, I have a four-year-old shoestring acacia. In the past 2 years, it's really taken off. It's probably 8 feet diameter and about 16 feet tall. And this is the first year it's given off, it looks like little furry sea pods, little round yellowish balls. And my question is, since the tree's growing faster than I anticipated, would it hurt or help the tree if I were to trim back those seed pods about 6 to 12 inches off of each branch and just tighten up and make the tree a little more compact?
Well, you'll get a little bit of temporary relief from the from the litter and the pods that will form after that. But you want to be a little bit careful that you're not going to be creating a monster by those little pruning cuts you make, sending out more sprouts. You need to make sure those pruning cuts are made at appropriate locations. We usually recommend cutting back the tips of branches back to a side branch so that the tree will push its nutrients and support that lateral branch rather than cutting it at an arbitrary location and creating a big flush of growth out of the ends of each of those little branches. The last thing you want is a witch's broom of ugly growth coming out of each of those little pruning cuts you make. But you might want to consult a certified arborist to come and give you some help along those lines. But if it's a tree that size, it's something you can certainly do on your own. I'm not sure it will give you but much more than just temporary relief, though.
Okay, because I just didn't know if this tree is susceptible to shaping or to pruning, because it's growing terrific. But I only planted it 9 feet out from the house, and I'm surprised how quickly it's grown in 4 years.
Yeah, they're one of those trees that you can put that you can put pretty close to a house because they have a vertical, more columnar shape to them. So they're great. They grow taller than they grow wide, so not a bad selection that way. But they do get tall.
And is that something that he needs to worry about 9 feet away from the house? How tall does the acacia get?
Well, they can be 40 feet tall, but like I said, we actually recommend them for narrow applications because they grow really tall, but not that wide. You can bring those sides in, shape those sides in if you want.
Yeah, with selective pruning, again, like back to, you know, attachments. But also what I want to note here is real important as your tree is several years old now, start weaning back the water. You still want regular intervals, but you can space those intervals out farther and don't water it so much. It won't grow so fast. You know, May and June, of course, are very important for watering. But the rest of the year, you can really space those waterings farther out.
He can slow it without harming it. Correct. By just cutting back the water.
Yes.
Very good. John, we appreciate the call. Let's move to Gordon calling from Tucson, calling about pistachios. Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, I've got six of them that I got a year ago. They've been in the ground about a year and a month. And they're all different stages of from doing well to not doing well. And they're spaced about 30 feet apart.
Okay, we're going to just go ahead with that. A little bad connection there. He's got six pistachio trees. They're 30 feet apart. Some are doing good. Some are not doing good.
Well, it reminds me of that other caller who listener who came through the website with a couple of trees that are planted the same time, and they're one's doing great and the other one's not. You know, this is a really common problem we have in the landscape, and you have to realize there's a lot of factors that affect that. Why does one tree do well and another tree seemingly in a similar location not doing well? It could be genetics. Sometimes you have trees in nurseries that simply don't grow as well as their neighbor. Someone once said, it's like two people walking across Death Valley. One could make it all the way across, the other one might not. You know, it's all a matter of genetics. Well, there's also some cultural factors involved. Irrigation, soil conditions, soil texture, soil structure, how well the soil drains. Those, you have to look at those very, very closely. But I would, the last answer I would give to this caller is that, and it's probably our most common problem, is planting depth. We find that if you look at those trees carefully, make sure that you can see a nice, well-defined trunk flare at the base of the tree. A nice, well-defined trunk flare, that is where the trunk meets the soil, it flares down, and you can start to see where the roots begin. If that's evident, you know the tree's been planted at the proper depth of soil. If you don't see it, if you see the trunk disappear into the soil like a cliff into water, you know that trunk goes down some depth before it reaches the roots. That trunk tissue should not be buried below the soil. And if that's the case, sometimes by simply digging down to the root collar and excavating out to about a radius of 18 inches around the tree and removing that soil that's too high up on the trunk, that can give the available oxygen that the plant needs to start to flourish again. We've saved a lot of trees that were languishing in the soil for years. They just didn't do what they were supposed to do because they were planted 6 inches too deep. We dug down to the root collar, excavated out to about 2 feet around the tree, maybe 18 inches, take that soil out, and those trees just get the oxygen for the first time, and they take off and do well.
I really think a big violation of that is somebody like me, who when I'm planting a tree, I want to tremendously over-excavate. I want to give the tree lots of that black gold, and I want to give it lots of compost. I want to give it lots of beautiful soil. And so I dig too deep. And then the tree sinks.
And some people like.
And then I just throw dirt in on top of it.
Yeah, a lot of people put dirt in on top of it because it stabilizes it, and they don't have to use stakes to hold it up. They figure a little extra soil will stabilize the tree, but you've suffocated the tree, and it needs oxygen to survive. And to Steve's point earlier about share a little bit about putting compost around the base of trees.
It's just really important to start pulling that compost away, especially as it gets cooler. But always you shouldn't have mulch or compost piled up around the stem of the trunk of any tree. It just really, it's a precursor to root rot and cambial disease right there at the soil grade. If there's any kind of extra water around there, it just gets trapped. So that's really important.
Yeah, that soil tends to wick the moisture up against the trunk tissue, and it's like plastic explosives. It's really damaging to the trunk.
Couple resources for you, Gordon. There is Tony Serra of the Magic Garden Nursery on 22nd Street in Tucson. And if it's a pistachio tree in Tucson, the chances that it came from the grower Arizona Pistachio in Marana are pretty darn good. And Bernie's a good guy. I bet you if you sent him a few pictures, there's nothing more than a pistachio grower wants to see a successful pistachio tree grown. So he may he may be willing to take a look at that for you as well. Let's bring Elaine into the conversation. Good morning, Elaine. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you. I want to tell you, first off, I love your program.
Thank
you. I've learned so much from it. I moved down here from Ohio a couple years ago, and I've learned so much from your program. But what I'm wanting some information on today is pecan trees. My son has bought some property that has, I don't know, 10 or 12 pecan trees on. And I want to know how to trim them and when. And when do the pecans get ripe, or whatever you call it, for ready to eat them?
And is where is this property your son purchased?
It's in Gilbert.
Okay, so this East Valley as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll bet you're out in the East Valley somewhere, because there are a lot of properties out that way, that direction, that are that were homes were built in old pecan orchards. Are these mature trees?
Yes, they are.
Well, beautiful. Then you do have a harvestable crop of pecans in those mature properties. The those properties with the mature trees. There are a couple of things that the pecans come in season in the early fall, I believe, September, October. They're starting to large enough to start dropping and collecting. These older mature pecan trees do require some maintenance. They are particularly brittle trees. They do drop some limbs. They can develop some heavy end weight, especially when they're loaded with fruit. So you need to prune them probably annually, I would suggest, at least maybe every couple of years. Reduce end weight on the trees. Don't let anyone come in and strip out the interior foliage at the exclusion of the outer third of the canopy. Be sure that some end weight reduction is done, especially if you have a home there with, possible targets below the trees that could be damaged if a branch should fall. The best time to prune pecans, because they are a deciduous fruit tree like we spoke about earlier, is in December. January is a good target time for those. They are losing their leaves right now and will probably be bare within the next month or so. At least by New Year's, they should be completely empty of leaves. So that's a good target time to prune them. And even a little bit before they lose all their leaves is nice, too, because then you can identify the dead wood that might be in them, distinguish it from the bare branches. It's a little easier to prune them for the arborist as they climb them. They can see the dead wood a little more easily if they have a few leaves still left on them.
And don't get rid of that wood. That's great smoking wood for the grill.
Oh, yeah, it is.